You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture reading will be in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14 through 21. Ephesians 4, 14 through 21. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, out of whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned of Christ, if so be that you've heard him, been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this his holy word, and this for Christ Jesus' sake, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Father God, once again, it's our privilege to share in the things that are eternal as we look at the Holy Word, and we want to thank you for this privilege. At the same time, we recognize our great need and that you are a supplier who can meet those needs. Consequently, we look to you for grace as you cleanse us and sanctify us to your purpose right here and right now, in order that you may minister a blessing in each individual heart, every detail being taken care of. And we'll be very careful at the outset to acknowledge these things and to thank you for what you're going to do, because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, to pull our thinking together, we've been looking these past few weeks at that portion of Scripture which Paul calls, or rather the Holy Spirit has energized Paul to write concerning the mystery which was always hidden until revealed to the Apostle Paul. This body of truth was written to us Gentiles, or the nations, if you will, which includes all people, because in the body of Christ there is no such thing as a Greek or a Jew or a barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. This was a secret that God hid, never made it known, until after the nation of Israel had rejected all the promises been given them, and for that period of time has set them aside and brought into existence a new dispensation, an economy whereby grace, and grace alone, is the one attribute that God exercises. And that grace is being exercised in a secret way. That's why it's called the mystery. We can look back at what God does and see his footprint, but we cannot know but just one day at a time and which way we're going. We may have great plans, we may think otherwise, but if you look back over the years, they don't work out that way very often. You need to work out some other way. In any case, we've been looking at the first three chapters, which deals with this and tells us something of our calling, namely that we've been called into sonship to be raised and seated together with Christ in the heavenly, the super heavens, if you will. We've been exalted to that place, and all by the sovereign grace of God. Now, week before last, we started into the fourth chapter, which it follows very logical inasmuch as the first three chapters describe our inheritance and what we can hope for. But the fourth chapter begins with, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, beseech you that you walk worthy of this high calling. Notice there is no law here, there's no command, but a plea of love. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, or as Paul puts it in the Roman letter from another vantage point, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, because of the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here is to walk worthy of that calling. And the first step in that walk is recorded in the fourth chapter in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As the preceding verses say, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now, we cannot make peace. We can only keep that unity which God has established. And he outlines 7 points there to distinguish for us, without any question about what he's talking about, how that the saints can have a unity of the Spirit, even though they may disagree on doctrinal things. But on this foundation, they can have a unity of the Spirit because God has established it that way. And namely, that there's one body of believers. You wouldn't know that today if you look around and see all the different names and denominations and things that we have. Nevertheless, God declares there's only one body of believers. Because the body of Christ is not an organization, it is a living organism. And wherever you find God's people, that particular one, that wherever he is a part of that body. There's but one body. There's but one Holy Spirit. There are many spirits today in this whole world, and the children of this world are being led astray by these other spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. And there's only one calling of your hope today, and that, of course, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be raised as he's already done, as far as the timelessness is concerned. There's one Lord. You cannot have many Lords in your life. There can only be one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, and that faith must come by the hearing of the Word of God, not your imaginations or your feelings or something of that nature. But as is written, faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. Likewise, there's one baptism, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, as he unites us and makes us identified with Christ in all of his efforts, such as the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the honor and the glory and the righteousness that is his. And last but not least, one God who is the source, the head of all. All of our being moves to that source. These are the things where we can be and have a unity with God's people on these points if they really want unity. Now that moves towards something and enables us to reach some of those goals because God has given us certain gifts. Namely, in verse 12, he's given us saints, individuals, for the work of the ministry. And these individuals were first apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The latter two are operative today. And the latter three, I'm sorry. We have evangelists, we have pastors, and we have teachers. The days of the apostles and the prophets are now past tense for the simple reason that God only called one set of apostles, and the prophets ceased to be when the word of God was completed. That's what a prophet was for. And now we have evangelists, we have pastors and teachers. These are gifts that God has given certain people for the perfecting. That word perfecting means to mend up. Now that's very apropos for this book for this reason. They had just come out of a dispensation at Acts 28. After God had set that nation aside, when Paul arrived at Rome, it says he preached to that nation from early morning till late at night. And it says he preached to them concerning the kingdom. That was the hope of Israel. That's what they'd look for through the ages. It says when they could not agree among themselves, it was at that point in time that the Apostle Paul quoted the 6th chapter of Isaiah to them. You have eyes to see with, you will not see. You have ears to hear with, you will not hear. Therefore, be it known unto you that this salvation is now sent or authorized the nations, the Gentiles, which includes all people, the Jew as well as the Gentile. Prior to that, salvation was of the Jew. Today, salvation is among the Gentiles. A new age, a new dispensation, not an age, but a dispensation has begun. And for almost 2,000 years, that which should be common knowledge amongst God's people has been lost in the shuffle of things. It's a sad commentary. But the mystery is our body of truth. It is our private mail. It is that which is given to us for faith obedience, that which we're called upon to walk worthy of. Now, that moves us to verse 13, which has in view a unity of the faith. We certainly have not arrived there, but we can say that there is some unity of the Spirit, but the unity of the faith is still yet to come. But it has that in view till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge, or the full knowledge, if you will, not just the knowledge, but the full knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature. That word perfect means a mature man, and the word man means a husband. And the reason why the husband word is used is because the husband also is a headship as well as the Lord. Just as God is the head of Christ, the man, Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the woman. It speaks of a head, of a source. Now, that's what we're moving toward, notice, unto the mature husband, to the measure of the stature of Christ. We know we shall attain this. We have attained it as far as God's sovereign is concerned, but experimentally we've not arrived there yet. Now, after that is where our lesson begins today. To those of us who have come into the mystery, that body of truth addressed to us, there's no excuse for us to be tossed to and fro with all the different teachings that are going on today. Because we have the key. Whether we use it or not, that's another thing. But at least we have the equipment. Put it that way. We have the equipment to know the mind of God for our particular life. That's why we should not be tossed to and fro. Now today, every wind of doctrine you can imagine is being promoted. Most of it is based upon the feelings or the experiences of people. In a lot of cases, of course, it's based purely on tradition. But generally speaking, those two fields are the things that create all the different ideas and thoughts that we have. Whereas the Word of God is the only instrument we can follow, and it must be rightly divided. It must be read according to who it's addressed to. In other words, as we've said so many times, read the address on the envelope. Let me repeat that. Read the address on the envelope. We all who are saints or belong to the family of God, but we have some private mail addressed to us, and we best listen to what is addressed to us. Not that we're not concerned about the others, but we are more concerned about what is addressed to us, because that is written to us for our faith obedience. Therefore, we have no excuse to be tossed to and fro with all the different winds of doctrine that are abroad today, because we do have a key. Whether we use it or not is another thing. If we do, we'll begin to see something else happen. We'll begin to speak the truth. What do we mean by that? I think this is well illustrated. Go to Luke, if you will, just hurriedly, in chapter 20. In other words, we need to deal honestly. This is an occasion where the religious leaders of that day were trying to catch Jesus saying something wrong. In verse 20, they said, and they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves, just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither accept thou the person of any, but teach the way of God truly. Now here's the question. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar or no? But he perceived their craftiness. And he said to them, why test you, tempt me? Show me a penny. Whose image and subscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer, and held their peace. Today, Christians everywhere are faced with that same question. How do we deal with the affairs of men in government? And the scripture, of course, gives us the answer. We don't have to doubt about what God expects of us, for it is written. And I'm quoting verbatim from the Greek and not just from the English. The supreme delegated authorities that be are ordained of God, and there is no authority otherwise. Now, every nation in its conception has a declaration, some good, some bad. Ours is pretty obvious. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Not the propaganda of equality today, but the equality that's spelt out for us. We hold these truths to be that all men are created equal, and here's the equality. That they're endued with their Creator with certain inalienable rights, namely, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, or property, if you will. That governments are instituted, what for? To secure these rights. You see, beloved, there are no such thing as civil rights. That's like saying dry water. There just isn't any such thing. There are God-given rights, and others recognize that, and they got that from the Bible. They didn't pull it out of a hat out of the thin air. They said, this truth, we don't have to prove it. We hold, you see, that these truths don't have to be proven. They're obvious. Now, in order to carry that out, you have to have a vehicle. And we have what's known as the Constitution. And the 7th article of the Constitution tells us that it is the supreme law of the land. Note again, the supreme delegated authorities that be are what? Ordained of God. Who is Caesar then? The supreme delegated authority. No man is Caesar. Even Caesar was under the law. You see? Today, it's a sad commentary to say, but it doesn't have to be proven. It's obvious. It's like the Declaration. It's obvious that men are not carrying out the edict of which this nation was founded upon. Just speak the truth and lie not. Don't be carried about by every wind of doctrine. Now, the truth that we illustrated here was from Luke. That's why we spent a little bit of time on it. But any truth that you have, search out its foundation. It's no better than its foundation. See, it's just as good as its foundation. It's no better. It's no worse. Every truth in the Bible is based upon a foundation. Search it out. If you don't do it, then you are exposed to the propaganda, the wind of doctrines that run to and fro throughout all humanity. Wonderful thing. But we're to speak the truth. But we're to speak it, notice, carefully. In love. And that's not law in the sense that men are banding around today, calling it love. Maybe some aspect of it. But beloved, love, 1 Corinthians 13, never fails. You see, that exposes what man calls love, because man's love constantly fails. The closest friend not always knowingly, but will let you down. The wife will let you down. The husband will let you down. Your children will let you down. Those things that we hold most dear to us fail us. But true love never fails. Speak the truth in love. It cannot be feigned. See? It has to be real. And only God can energize a man to stand true on all points. We're to walk worthy of our calling. Now, truth is sometimes we're blinded to it because of our own particular interest. Let me just cite one illustration to you. Of all the prophets of the Old Testament, none is so spectacular in his activities as Elijah. And when Elijah had rebuked the nation of Israel, had slain the prophets of Baal, his life was threatened by a woman, Jezebel. And he went down to the brook feeling sorry for himself. He said, "Lord, all this is wasted. I just give up on that, on them people." And the Lord spoke quietly to him. Well, turn to the 11th chapter of Romans. Paul refers to that. The Jews, feeling that they were being set aside because God was dealing with Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. And Paul asked the questions in the first chapter of Romans. Has God cast away his people? No, not at all. I also am an Israelite, seed of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin. God not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel? He said, what's the use? They're no good. Throw them out. But what does the Lord say? Well, go ahead. Here's what Elijah said. Lord, they've killed your prophets. They dig down your altars. I'm left alone. They seek my life. They're trying to kill me too. What did God say to him? Answer God, I reserve for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You see, we may feel sometimes because we're small potatoes here, have a truth that the rest of the world is going to hell and we're the only one left. That isn't true. God has his people everywhere. Make no mistake about that. We speak the truth in love. Because we have a truth, which is, I think, the paramount thing for today because it's addressed to us. Does not mean that God has put us on a perch and we're something come to town. Not at all. It's something we ought to be very grateful. We ought to walk worthy of that calling. And I fear, beginning with myself, how far afield I miss that calling. And yet, we're not to be discouraged by it. Turn, if you will, quickly to 2 Corinthians 12. This is a case of a man who had a revelation that no other human beings ever had. Chapter 12. We can begin reading at verse 7, just save a lot of reading. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given me, a thorn in the flesh. Not only that, but the messenger of Satan debuffed me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. This does not mean he just prayed three times, but it means literally on three different occasions. He literally bombarded heaven because of his condition, whatever it was. Thank God he didn't tell us what it was, because everybody built a doctrine on it if it did. But somewhere in your makeup, there's a weakness, there's a flaw. Now, if that flaw is there for keeping you humble, there's no use fiddling around about it. God's not going to do anything about it. He knows you better than you know yourself. We are told to know ourselves, but sometimes we deceive ourselves. And that's the worst deception there is. That's the biggest lie that can happen when you lie to yourself. And because of that, like Elijah, see, he said, "Lord, I'm the only good man on earth here. That's all there is left. That's it. The rest of them gone to hell." I said, no. You made a mistake, Elijah. I know you've been having some hard days, but it isn't true. There's 7,000 right here. Israel have never bowed the knee yet. They're faithful. If you've been given light, and Paul was given light like no other man. You see, Paul is to us what Moses was to Israel. Never forget that. That's who God set aside to unveil truth for us. Does not mean that we discount the others. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable. We'll learn from it. These things are written for our learning. But when it comes to that which God is going to expect of us, we better listen to what he says to us. We don't need to look down our nose at anybody, because we don't have anything we didn't get. It was for free. And so, even though we have a key that some other saints do not have, and that's sad, but it is true. I believe that. But it's at the same time, knowing most of you pretty well, I know a lot of your flaws. And it's pretty obvious you know mine. See? Some of the things God will remove. But some of the things in your life he will not remove. Because if he did, you'd have a head so big and swelled up, you couldn't get along yourself. And he knows that. Now those things that do not cause us to be proud, God will remove. But he'll always keep you in a position to know that so that you don't get too big for your pants. That's exactly, pardon these crude figures of speech, but I think they drive the point home real well. Now, you notice what all this is said for a reason. In verse 15 and 16, speak the truth in love, which means you may grow up. But we've got a lot of growing up to do, too. In all things which is the head, that's the source of our being, Christ. And that word from is all right, but it kind of veils what's really said. It's a little Greek word, ek, again. It means out of. It's out of him. Out of him, the whole body, that's all of God's people, are fitly joined together and compacted. That literally means to weave together, like you weave cloth. To the effectual working of the measure of every part, and makes increase of the body into edifying itself in love. Now, I think you can begin to see the darkness all over this world today. It's because the body is so out of joint, and because the ligaments that hold it together are so dead, that the body is just not functioning as a unit. And that's why we have so many divisions. That's why we have so many bitterness even among God's people. Do you know the true history? The greatest wars on this planet have been caused in the name of Christ. More people's blood have been spilt over that than almost any other thing. No wonder the world's in darkness. And whose fault is it? I want to look around. Just take a look in the mirror. We have failed to walk worthy of our high call. You see, God's people, the ignorance that's amongst them is pitiful. They do not realize the calling of God for this day. Did you know every saint today, and has for 1900 years, has had the highest calling of all the saints of the Bible? There's nowhere in the Bible that you find God's people raised and exalted and seated together in the heavenlies that God's people are brought to a stature of the fullness of Christ. All that He is ours. All of His calling. We've been called into the fellowship of the God-man of the universe, who now seated at the right hand of the Father. All the other promises of God do not deal with that subject matter. Only to us is this addressed. We are the showcase of God right now for the angelic world. Ephesians 3:10. As we talk here, if we could pull back the curtain and see the angelic world observing what's going on here, we'd be shocked. And yet that's what we're told. They're learning from us, of this dispensation, what the fullness of the grace of God is all about. They know all about righteousness. They know all about holiness. They know all about justice. They've seen that from the throne of God all their lives. And they've seen grace at work in different lives, such as the life of Abraham, individuals. But they've never seen a time when God has limited His own attributes to His sovereign grace. Every act of God toward you is an act of grace. There's nothing punitive about it. It's for your education. Hence it is written that no child training or chastening for the present seems joyous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them, notice, exercised by it. That's educational, not punitive. Now, the walk that's worthy, you need to realize your completeness in Christ. At the same time, in that walk, the paradoxical side is, you're to realize not only that you're complete in Christ, but you have all the flaws. Some see them, some don't. Some of you don't want to talk about it, and I don't blame you. See? But they're there, and they're to keep you humble. As if you needed something to keep you on, and you sure do. And all these things, notice as we began in this fourth chapter, look at the progress and the logic of it. It begins first with what? A unity that God has established. We're not to make a unity, we're to keep it. And that is to move toward the gifts that God has given us in men, through the evangelists, through the teachers, through the pastors, through the soul winner, to bring us all to a place of agreement in faith. We've got a long way to go, but that's what's going to happen. And that has in view the perfect working of the body of Christ. We can look back in history and we can blame the Jew. How God, in the Old Testament, is replete with a time after time after time. He chastened that nation. He chastened that nation. He chastened that nation. And the more he did it, the further they got from him. Until at last, you read in Isaiah, he said, "What's the use? If I beat you anymore, it doesn't do any good." But then you hear the call from heaven, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, should be white as snow." That principle is still operative today. Through 1900 years, God has been dealing with the body of Christ. Time and time again, He's raised them up out of the filth, put them on a pinnacle, being right down again. Throughout the history. Today, we've come down to the pits again. America is almost as bad and is moving, catching up with that as ancient Babylon was. Another dirty thing that you can read about old Babylon that we don't have going on right here. About time for God to intervene. We ought to think soberly of our calling, our worthiness. And what I say to you, I have to say to myself, because my time is less than yours. Most of you, there may be one here. The rest of you are way behind me. You see? But we must speak the truth. Now, when you catch yourself lying, and if you just, any 24-hour day, if you listen to everything you say, you'll find you lie sometime during the day, every day. And the only reason why you get away with it, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing. Now, if you want to enjoy the fact of that liberty, then we're told if we confess our sin, the sin of lying, stealing, you didn't know you're a thief, but some of you are. Of course, I'm not, but you might be. Anyway, whatever it is. See, somebody's beeped it out right real quick. See, the man got a call. Got a little too hot. I don't blame you, brother. Thanks for coming anyhow. But you see, the Holy Spirit has been sent to call our attention to these things if we're walking in the light as He's in the light. Sometimes we're walking so far away from we don't hear. But He's come to tell us these things. When we lie, if we're really walking in the light, the beep goes on, beep, 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 you know, and we, at that time, we're told that word confession means that I have an agreement with the mind of God. If I say that I have an agreement and I don't have an agreement, I'm telling a lie still. I don't have to say a thing. When I hear that beep go, beep, beep. Yeah, Lord, that's right. I sure exaggerated in that story. That's what you call an exaggeration. God calls it what it is. See? I only point to this because it's such a commonplace thing. I see our time's gone, everybody. We're going to pick it up there next week. But you can begin to see, if you look in the mirror of God's Word, how far short we fail in our calling. And I think that's because we don't appreciate what our calling is. And thank God the mystery is here to be given to us to reveal this so that we can begin to appreciate what God has done for us. Well, let's say our time's gone, so we're going to have to stop. But we'll pick it up there next week. In the meantime, that you might begin to see some of these things for your own, remember the first chapter of Ephesians, the prayer there that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Paul had been 3 years in Ephesus. He had taught them the whole counsel of God up to the book of Ephesians. But this new revelation he wrote to them concerning this new calling that we have, namely, and I quote, that God may give unto you a spirit of revelation in the full knowledge of His Son, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what His inheritance is in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of His power is toward us, that power which He wrought, energized when He raised Christ from the dead. If you make that your prayer, begin to pray that prayer every day, God will begin to enlighten you upon these secrets that were given to the Apostle Paul, addressed to us for our obedience. In the meantime, till next Sunday, we'll pick it up right where we left. Father God, again, for the high calling, as much as we can, we want to express our gratitude. At the same time, we realize how far short we've missed it. And yet we look to You with hope and for the grace that will bring us up out of the pits into the glorious light that awaits us. Thank You for attending to these things. And if by chance there's somebody here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may the Holy Spirit cause that one to wrestle with that restlessness until the Holy Spirit brings him into a saving knowledge of Christ. This is for Christ Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.